I have been doing some summer planning for the church this past week or so, looking at summer camp and other kids ministry activities, and usually going through some pictures of years past. And I've got to tell you that one of the best parts about summer is Vacation Bible School, in whatever form it brings itself in. In part, it's because I love watching our volunteers shine. We have some amazing teachers and storytellers that are just simply top-notch, and I take notes and learn from them. Usually, I tend to float around from class to class to check in, take some pictures, or just to listen. And one of my favorite classes is the energy that our preschoolers bring. It's always amazing. And Miss Yvette, this is her skill set. It is not my sweet spot, but it is hers. And she tells Bible stories in such a great way that the kids just can't get close enough. It's almost like they can be in their little spots where their area is, all spread out so everyone can see when the story begins. But then, like this little scooching, wiggling race, it's to see who can get close, or as close as possible, without getting caught. You know, it's kind of like one of these types of things, of like a Bible story, red light, green light type of thing. You know, and I guess the question is though, what if Miss Yvette would have chosen the kid who was at the very back of the game, who wasn't so great at the game, and invited that person to come and sit next to her for the rest of the Vacation Bible School session? That would have been great for that one kid. And I am sure that the other kids in the class would have some pretty strong feelings about it too. Well, that's where we are this week in our scripture as we continue our Breaking Bread with Jesus series. Now, we've been making our way through the Gospel of Luke from table to table, and this week we're kind of jumping ahead in our scripture to the one that you heard read today, and we'll bring it back a little bit next week. But as we've heard the story read, we have three characters doing some really powerful things throughout the story. And so I want to reflect today on a little about how we see Jesus showing us the guest list to the kingdom, the crowd grumbling, and our buddy Zacchaeus when he is confronted with God in his home, and then finding some secrets to a transformed life. So let's jump in with what Jesus is up to in this passage. Now, crowds are following him kind of as usual, and he looks up into this sycamore tree for a guy who can't get close enough. This guy is peering down from the branches, and he was just trying a little bit to get close to Jesus as he passed. Now, I kind of do wonder what this would have looked like. Like, I wonder if Zacchaeus moved from tree to tree, you know, a couple of times trying just to get a glimpse of Jesus. And so there's Zacchaeus in this tree, and our scripture says that part of the reason why he climbed the tree was because he was a short guy. He was little, right? But I'm betting that it also had to do with the fact that his neighbors were not really inclined to make space for him to squeeze through. He was not very liked, to say the least, right? And then I guess the question is, why wouldn't they help a brother out? And it's because he steals from his own people. He was an upper management tax collector who skims off the top from the people that he personally collects from, and also from the junior tax collectors that would have worked under him. Now, this may be expected from someone who was a Roman, that they would cheat them out of their taxes. But Zacchaeus, he's a Jew just like his neighbors. And so they're playing from the same rule book, and this is unacceptable. And by the tone of the story, it reminds us that money isn't going to buy this guy happiness. And so Zacchaeus is curious about what Jesus is offering because he knows that money won't buy that happiness. Ebenezer Scrooge might be a good parallel to draw for our tax collector today if you're trying to get a mental image. And so when Jesus makes eye contact with this strange outcast of a man, Jesus shows his hand about who is and is not part of the kingdom of God. Now, Zacchaeus should not be on that guest list. He shouldn't even worry about trying to rent or reserve a tuxedo or a limo because he has betrayed his people and God because of the nature of his work. He's not going to that dance, right? And yet, Jesus sought him out and he said, "Let's spend some time together. I see you. I have a place for you." And if God hasn't written off this guy who is playing by the same rules and still openly takes more than his fair share from his neighbor's hard-earned money, there's a place for you too. This is what the table of Jesus looks like. A bunch of misfits playing host to the King of Kings, and the rest of the world would have written them off, and yet Jesus invites himself in. Well, of course, when Jesus asks him to come over for dinner, you know, what do? You hop down from whatever tree you're in and you go. And so all of a sudden, Zacchaeus feels like 10 feet tall, you know, strutting around because he's the one who got the invite. But not everyone is so excited. And so our second character is the crowd, and they're grumbling. And so that's where we are, the crowd. The people are grumbling because the sinner got the most exclusive hang session with Jesus in a house that was paid for by the money stolen from them. Jesus's response was that it's not about them. He came for those who were lost, not the ones who have already been found. And now, I'm thinking about the prophet Jonah when I hear these words, because I bet that more than a few in the crowd wanted to see Zacchaeus get what he deserved. And grace is not what they had in mind. And so we want to take away from this crowd some kind of learning for us that when we think about grumbling, we want to be careful. You see, the insiders are grumbling because they've already encountered their slice of grace, and now they want exclusivity to their club. Have you ever been a hypocritical grumbler? Have you accepted God's grace or the grace of someone else, but then called for the judgment of someone else who you deemed unfit for that gift? Me too. I'm a hypocritical grumbler. And so let's remember the grumbling crowd and ask ourselves, why are we really grumbling? Is it resentment or guilt or some other feeling that's welling up inside of us? Why are we grumbling? And finally, let's turn to Zacchaeus for a minute. This encounter with Jesus transforms his heart in a way that he repents and turns away from his sin. But not only does he promise to change, but he's gonna go back and seek reconciliation. That's huge. He's gonna give half of what he has to the poor to kind of help with the whole God situation part. And then he's gonna repay 4 times anything that he has wronged other people. This is the power of Jesus and what transformation is all about. And this is what heaven rejoices about. Yeah, repentance. But wait a minute. Actually, earlier in our gospel, there was a rich man that came to Jesus and he said, "Teacher, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God, to encounter heaven?" And Jesus's response, do you remember it? It was, "Sell everything you have and give it to the poor." So why did salvation come to Zacchaeus when he didn't sell everything? I think that the answer lies with Zacchaeus coming to know what abundant life is all about. You see, for that rich young ruler, abundant life began and ended with the balance in his bank account, how rich he was. But what Zacchaeus experienced that day was that life following as a disciple of Jesus can lead to an abundance and contentment characterized by loving God and loving your neighbor. And these two things you can do no matter what your net worth is, or your age, or your stage in life. It's pretty powerful, right? Zacchaeus found abundance. And yes, heaven rejoices. And so as we close today, I would encourage you not to lose sight of the fact that no matter where you've been, or your current circumstances, or your anxiety about the future, there is a place set at God's table for you. And there's also a spot for that neighbor that you grumble about. So don't deny them the same grace that has been extended to you. And finally, seek out an abundant life that's marked by loving God and loving your neighbor. So let's get practical. One last thing. This week, when you notice yourself grumbling, actively try to find some space for grace and the Holy Spirit to work in, and then extend that in some meaningful way to those who might feel as though they are lost and long to be found. I'd love to hear how that goes. You can always send me a message or an email, but let's try to impact the kingdom. Let's try to bring some hope and connection to our world here and now that's so often characterized by isolation and anxiety. I can't wait to hear the adventures that you get into. Amen, and I will see you all soon.